painfully, about 60% of our COVID infections actually reside in Gauteng province. It's the smallest province in the country, and it's possibly the most densely populated. And it is unfortunately being swept across by a very painful wave. You'll recall, about 3 weeks ago, Dr. Tulio de Oliveira from CRISP joined us, and he detailed how, if you recall, during the second wave, the Western Cape, the Southern Cape, the Eastern Cape were severely impacted by the second wave. And it was so painful because it was a sweeping across by the COVID variant, the COVID variant found in South Africa. And that one's severe, obviously. As it turns out, according to him, about 90% of the current cases we're seeing are actually that particular variant as well. And what's happening is, as a result, in the southern part of the country, most of us have kind of, I suppose, it hasn't swept through and destroyed us, and who it was going to destroy, it has already destroyed. But when it sweeps through Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and northern provinces, those are people who weren't as exposed to it at the time. And so they are kind of more vulnerable to it, and that's how their third wave, will be more severe than ours was. And so it's important for us to take a perspective from Gauteng. That doesn't mean we should rest on our laurels, by the way, Western Cape. Dr. Mary Kawonga is the chair of the Gauteng Premier's Advisory Committee on COVID-19, and she joins me now to help us understand exactly what it is that they're facing. Dr. Kawonga, thank you so much for joining me on Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Refilwe, and good morning to your listeners. I'm good, thanks. And how are you?
I'm excellent, except concerned, obviously, about my countrymen. Yeah, of course. So when you are advising the Premier of Gauteng, what keeps you up at night at this particular time in the pandemic?
Well, clearly the first thing that keeps me up at night is the extent to which we're seeing the increase in cases in the last 3-4 weeks. Particularly this week that's just ended, the epidemiological week ending on Saturday, where we've seen exceedingly high numbers of new cases. And we actually recorded the highest number of new cases per day since the pandemic began in this last week that ended on Saturday. So that's the first thing that keeps us up at night. And the second thing is the fact that when cases increase at the rate at which they're doing so now in Gauteng, we start to see an increase in hospitalizations. And so more and more people are getting admitted into hospital, very sick people with severe COVID, obviously. And so the health system comes under pressure. And the health workers who have had a tough time since last year, March, dealing with patients with COVID-19, completely being overwhelmed and not just having the physical, pressure of having to go to work, but also psychological and emotional pressure of nursing very sick people and so on. But the third thing that keeps me up at night is, I think as much as we advise the Premier about interventions that need to be put in place, we're also very concerned about the fact that, I don't want to sound negative, but I think the public is not taking this as seriously as they ought to.
Right.
We're continuing to behave like we've gone back to normal, like COVID-19 has gone away, and yet it hasn't. And we started warning the public actually from as far back as April that a third wave is definitely going to come. And so let's continue adhering to wearing masks, physical distancing, avoiding crowds, et cetera. But teams on the ground in Gauteng who do monitoring of compliance to the protocols have identified that people are actually going on as if COVID-19 doesn't exist. And the protocols are not being adhered to by individuals, by people who own establishments for entertainment and so on. So that's really the third thing that really keeps me up at night. And I wish all of us could use the power that we have to actually make a choice that I'm not going to go into that restaurant that's crowded. And if all of us did that, then it wouldn't be crowded. I'm not going to go and have a party where I invite my friends who are from different households and then not wear masks and not social distance in that small. Even if, they're just a few people, if you're mixing people from different households, it is a risk of transmitting the virus.
Indeed. Dr. Corona, yeah. I completely understand where you're coming from, and I would agree. I mean, I recently had friends crossing provinces, and as I understand it, the person who arranged the trip made it COVID compliant, right? Everybody got tested, everybody got socially distanced for at least 10 days before. But but not everybody actually thinks that through when they invite a person over to a dinner party. And I think you're absolutely right that we're not taking it seriously. The one thing I have to just say in defense of my fellow errant countrymen is that, and I know it as well, on this show, we have been calling the third wave now since late March. And every week we would say, it's coming in 2 weeks. It's coming in 2 weeks. And every time it didn't come, I felt a sense of relief from our listeners as well as a sense of relaxation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it has now come with the thunder. And I'm curious to understand from your perspective, you said the second thing that keeps you up at night is the hospitalizations. You're down one hospital in the West, in Gauteng. Charlotte Maxeke has still not been reopened. What do we do?
Well, I don't want to speak on behalf of the Department of Health.
Sure.
I think, but as far as I'm aware, we have raised that concern. And what our committee does is we also have the team that does the modeling, and they figured out the fact that with Charlotte Maxeke down, these are the number of hospitalizations probably expected over the next few weeks. And therefore, the implementers then have to go about trying to increase the capacity to provide hospital beds for these patients. I think the Department of Health is doing that, as far as I'm aware. I can't speak for them, but they are looking for additional beds. They have actually already created additional beds between the second and third wave. And so they're looking for alternative places where people can be housed. And I think... what you were saying earlier about the boy, it's like the boy who cried wolf. So I think as much as we also have been warning about the third wave since as far back as, and I think as much as the public also felt, they were probably just talking, it wasn't real. It's also possible, and it's not impossible, they're only human, but also implementers sometimes probably think, maybe it's not coming just yet as soon as we thought. But there are things being done in place to try and find additional beds. I can't go into details because I don't know the details. Our role is really to advise on what needs to be done to ramp up capacity.
We're hearing that tightening to a further lockdown is not affordable. Would you ask for certain parameters to be tightened, Doctor?
It becomes difficult because when one says it, they'll say, "Oh, the advisory committee said this."
Okay,
but as
personally,
when we went down to alert level 2, my opinion was it wasn't stringent enough because it only dealt with one thing, which was reducing the size of crowds, really. And we felt that we needed a more stringent lockdown, and we've gone down to alert level 3. It's too early to see whether it's sufficient. I think there are things we look at to see whether or not it's time to go to a more stringent lockdown. And one of them is the extent to which the hospital services are being overwhelmed. At the moment, I'm not sure we've reached that stage yet. We're just waiting. We're looking into the data, especially for this coming week. And, we'll have to look at the data of cases and the data of hospital occupancy to see this, and also obviously the availability of staff to look at to look after patients and support the existing health workers. The Minister of Health, acting Minister of Health nationally, has said that she'll send in the military to assist, and I think that will help greatly because, as you can imagine, the health workers who are already there are stretched with having to do COVID-19 and non-COVID work, but now they're also having to also do the vaccination program.
Right.
And so bringing in additional health workers is a way of allowing so more staff so that they can open up even more beds. to look after patients, because you can't open a bed without having a health worker to run
Correct.
The bed.
It's a whole team. And
so we'll see how that goes. I think this week will be quite critical, both in terms of the cases as well as in terms of the hospitalization and the ability of staff to cope with the work that's going on at the moment.
Dr. Mary Kawanga, thank you so much for your candor. Chair of the Gauteng Premier's Advisory Committee on COVID-19.